And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome once again into our studio, into our small studio here with a window on the city, Nate Wallace, who's the city manager for the city of Palmer. Welcome, Ms. Wallace.
Good to be here today.
So you walked over. You have the most recent experience of walking around in the city. What's it like out there this morning?
Still a little chilly, but nice. The clouds are starting to move away, and you know there's no snow that I could see. Although we still have some piles of stuff that's been piled up, and it's covered with gravel, so you think it's a gravel pile, but
yeah,
really
but
there's still
really,
some snow under there.
That's my impression. And I'm happy to see that the people who brush gently all of the gravel and et cetera that's been laid down on the icy streets have been out working. I know there was a machine that went by, and then I think another machine out there doing some stuff. They're still having checked this out by taking my bike and riding around. I found there's places that still are looking for some sweeping. But
oh, there's a lot of places that still need sweeping. We only have one street sweeper that actually sucks the gravel up. And we also have a John Deere with a brush that we use on sidewalks and pathways. So those were out 2 weeks ago, started 2 weeks ago,
right,
when it was still damp and it wouldn't cause a lot of dust, but the street sweeper or sucker broke down, and it does that on occasion because it's about 10 years old and it's a hard job. So it's back up on the road. We've also rented a second machine because we suspect it will probably go down again between now and summer. But we've got a lot more gravel this year down than we've ever had before because it was an icy winter as opposed to a snowy winter. So it's going to take us a little while to get it all up because it can only do about a block at it. With as much stuff down we have, it can only do about a block at a time. So
where does it all go? It
goes into our public works yard where we try to reclaim as much as we can. And then it gets refilled up with water and goes back out.
Well, another time. Okay. So I'm expecting this year, I think we're going to today probably be focusing on, at least initially, the road situation. I received a notice regarding the Department of Transportation and their plans for what's going to be happening with construction on the Glenn Highway. And part of that was that it appeared there was going to be an office so that if you had questions, you could stop by and ask them what was going on, and they'd help you along the way.
Yeah, Department of Transportation and Public Facilities has a – whenever they do a project of that size, they have a project office on site or very close to where they're working. So the contractors have their offices on the corner of Bogard and Glenn, one of the houses that was purchased before that. So it's the one on the corner right by the stoplight. So they set up shop in there. And once they're done, that building will come down or be moved. The state offices, I believe, are on Hemmer. In the old, I think it was a funeral home.
Right.
They've rented that or leased that for the life of the project, which will be two phases. So it'll be there for a couple of years, is my understanding. But, yeah, they've always got a project office where their engineers are so they can quickly get on site instead of coming from wherever their central region office is in Anchorage. So it's not unusual. It's just, you know, we haven't had a project in Palmer side for a long time, so we just don't see that.
So it just in a summary, then we keep asking this question, given that it appears this is early, warm spring, they might have a little more time to work on all these things. And if it happens to be a late fall, what's your best guess right now? Will people be driving on portions of a new highway by the end of the season?
Last year, when they started, the timeline was that they would have the top coat done by the end of this construction season and then come back in 2020 to seal it. I haven't had conversations with timeline. I saw something on one of the Facebook pages that suggested that that might be delayed, but it wasn't the DOT site. It was just another site. So My understanding of the contract is they're supposed to have the pavement down and substantial complete by September of 2019. So I don't have those documents. That was what was passed to us during the beginning of the project last year.
Okay. That will change the – I guess I'm trying to imagine, having driven too many times into Palmer up from the south, I'm imagining someone coming through because I'm making the comparison with Trunk Road. I drove the old Trunk Road many years, and then when the new one came in, it was I said, "Where am I? I've been transported to another land," because just the view of what I was seeing was so dramatically different.
Yes,
as well as the safety of going from one place to another. But of course, the Trunk Road doesn't involve passing through essentially the heart of the city.
And it's already a highway, so that's the difference between. I drove Trunk Road for 10 years, commuting to the valley, from the valley to Jaybear, and that was a little windy road. It was a 2-lane road that wound through some beautiful country, and they straightened it and widened it all at once. So that was significant changes for that section. So, you know, we're already starting with a highway,
right?
That goes through. I mean, there was property purchased, but it was to widen the road, not to straighten it, not to change the course of the road. It was to make it a safer highway. Mm-hmm. There will be some change at the Y. The Y will become an X, if that's what we want to continue to call it, some
form
of
plus?
The alphabet. Or a plus.
Yeah. Okay.
So that will change. I mean, I think that will be the most significant change, other than it being wider and safer. But from an aesthetics point, I think changing the Y to a plus will be the most significant piece, because you won't be able to just kind of peel off or meander into Palmer. You'll have to make a conscious decision to turn left at a stoplight, or turn right into Palmer, or turn left onto a frontage road to get to the other side.
Right. And I'm trying to anticipate. My imagination fails me here. I'm guessing there will be some kind of lane that still – I mean, this is a
– They're adding turning lanes at certain portions. I haven't looked at the drawings in about a year to see where the turning lanes are. But they're adding turning lanes. They're making it wider. So I know there's a turning lane on Springer, but I don't think there's one on Commercial.
So for listeners, and to remind me, this is a divided highway.
Yes.
Okay. And the divide will actually, at some point when finished, come all the way from the intersection of the Parks and the Glen.
Correct.
It'll be divided all the way through, through Palmer, and then be reduced to its present form somewhere above Bailey Hill. Or
the project stops at the tunnel on Auklet.
Oh, right there.
And they did Fish Hook and beyond. They're working along Moose Pass, I think.
Okay.
What's interesting is the section from Fish Hook to basically Bogard. That's not on the short-term horizon, which is interesting. So,
whoa,
there's a kind of gap there. I guess they feel that that's it. There haven't been accidents there. Hasn't been a safety problem. So it is relatively new compared to other pieces of the highway. But that section, in our belief, you know, let's take the trail, really the bike path. The road is probably wide enough there. I mean, it's
right.
Four lanes all the way up to almost to Fish Hook. So it is already wide. But it would be nice to take that path that stops at the bike tunnel all the way up to Fish Hook.
Oh, right, right. Okay. Is there any place along this road where there'll be a roundabout?
No.
No roundabouts.
No roundabouts.
Okay. I have to ask.
Again, it's a highway.
right.
As opposed to Bogard and the Palmer Wasilla Highway, it doesn't have any roundabouts either. So when it's classified for that level of traffic, they don't get roundabouts.
Okay. Until they stop. And then they get roundabouts.
Then they become streets.
Streets or roundabouts or whatever.
And then there's roads. And
so is there any chance to be a roundabout in the center of town at the flashing red light?
You know, that's – I don't want to say yes or no, because part of our area-wide planning process that we've gone through is discussing, you know, okay, here's a section of town that's underdeveloped or brownfield. Mm-hmm. Why is it not developed? There's all kinds of reasons why, and it may not be because of brownfield. But part of that was, what's keeping it from happening? And one comment has been, the railroad is a barrier. Whether you agree with that or not, it is a traffic barrier, very significant one, to keep that side of town from traversing to this side of town.
Oh, yeah.
There's very few places to cross, and they're very narrow. And the one here at Evergreen and Colony, Alaska is, it was great for when it was built. But, times have changed. Traffic's increased. We've got other things going that make that a very congested area. So that has been brought up. Now, different solutions have been offered. Again, we'll see how the planning study comes out, what recommendations they have, what the community input is, and and then we'll go from there. But yeah, that's a multi-million-dollar project, and until there's capital funds from the state or the federal infrastructure program comes in, the city can't do that one on its own.
So the flashing red light is iconic in the center of Palmer. I'm not aware of many other flashing red lights that I have come upon.
In Palmer or just in general?
Certainly in Palmer.
In transportation world, anywhere.
Even in Anchorage. I'm not sure there's one in Anchorage, but maybe I haven't found it.
Well, it's a four-way stop. Now, whether it has four stop signs or four stop signs and a blinking light, I imagine we could take that light down and no one in the transportation world would tell us, you're doing something bad. Now, as you mentioned, it's an iconic flashing light. There's other things that go beyond just the traffic control with that. So, there was a little kerfluffle, I think, when the stoplight was changed, the old-fashioned one that was out there, changed to the one we have now. So there was a lot of comment about that. Why change it? So, if we took that down.
Well, what I've noticed, and I mentioned earlier that I was out more on a bike recently, walking and biking. I guess my sense of things is there's an increased volume of all kinds of traffic, foot traffic, bike traffic, et cetera. And that contributes to all of this. So you have an intersection in an area that has worked for a while, and now if you have more people that are getting out and using different forms. Generally speaking, I sort of go along okay, but then I'm saying it's at those transition points that the most difficulty happens. These are transition points of crosswalks, transition points where I come off a bike path, which is clearly delineated, no problem at all, and then where do I go?
Yep.
And I know that the city and the various boards and commissions are working to figure out ways to have those transitions work better. And I have to ask, I know that there's a group that's been working on evolving, I'll use that term, crosswalk painting.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to that in particular because it feels like right now, of course, with the wear and tear that's come with winter, it's hard to discern unless you knew that there was actually a crosswalk in some places because it's either still covered with a little bit of gravel or it's really worn. And that's part of the difficulty, I'm looking forward to that whole process of finding ways to get from one side of the road to the other without having to walk.
Not having to walk.
Three or four blocks down and then three or four blocks back to cross the street because there's no crosswalk and all the rest of that. But that's enough. One last piece on crosswalk stuff. We were up at the north end of town trying to turn left onto Arctic. And this was by the building housing, the Kombucherie 203. We waited for a long time.
Yes.
To try to turn there because it seems traffic coming both ways is involved. I know there's going to be a crosswalk partly in there. Will there also be some kind of light or is it just
the so the crosswalk is not a done deal. That's a state again another state highway.
Okay.
We're working with DOT. The council had a visit from the regional director, Mr. Amundson, and he presented, I think the topic was just, you know, the future projects. And one of the questions was, well, can we have a crosswalk? When is the state going to put in a crosswalk at, on that particular stretch of the highway? And his answer was, no, we're not. There's nothing in the works. The Old Glen is eventually is on the docket to be upgraded from some at some point from the inner, from the Glen Highway through Palmer as a corridor. And at that point in time, then that will be examined, not necessarily addressed. But he said the city could, if the city wants to take it on, you can. So we did this initial ask, like, can we paint this? And the answer was came out was no, you can't just paint a crosswalk across a highway. you need to study it for safety wise. So we've done the study. There's a lot of traffic, as we all know.
Yeah.
It's probably the second busiest street in the whole city, which led to you can't just paint a crosswalk. It's wide. It's so wide. There's so much traffic. The other piece that the study found was there isn't really that much foot traffic. Either, but that's beside the point. But because of the nature of that highway, it'll require an island or a safe place. Safe place is kind of strange because it's not necessarily safe. It's just your island can be painted or it can be a raised curb, but you're not necessarily going to be protected from a distracted driver. But
right.
But you have to have something in the middle. So where does that go? Because you have to be able to turn left off of Valley. You have to be able to turn right onto or left. You have to be able to make those left-hand turns.
Sure.
So that pushes the safe place down closer to Napa or up further to the hairstylist. And it's not, your crosswalk is no longer at the intersection.
Right, and you're then almost to Alaska, where there's a crosswalk and a
yes.
light and a signal and
correct.
Everything else.
So it's two blocks now from Valley down to Arctic. You have to go across Bonanza and then you're Alaska. And if you go north, it's still quite a ways. And there's no crosswalk up on Gulkana anyway, which is another place that probably needs a crosswalk if you're walking to school because the pathway is on the opposite side of the Old Glen.
Right.
So anyway, so the study got done, determined we need to have that. Engineering folks put together some drawings. It went to DOT. DOT has it now for review and approval. It's looking closer to a $100,000 crosswalk. So, yeah, so those are the things we have to deal with highways that and crosswalks aren't just as easy as painting them. So once DOT approves the drawings, we'll bring it to council to see if the community still wants to invest in something of that nature there.
Sure.
Well, but also the question, it's the same thing, an easy one. The city owns Colony, and we have the archway that goes into the AARC parking area.
Right.
It's on a crosswalk. It's on a sidewalk, so the arch is like a sidewalk there. There's been a lot of call for, let's just paint a crosswalk across to where the Palmer Bar is. Again, it's easy to paint something, but now it's no longer a legal crosswalk because we have no ADA access. So to paint a crosswalk there, we'd have to put ADA ramps, and those things aren't cheap. So a $100 worth of paint turns into a $10,000 project that's uncontrolled. So there's lots that goes into crosswalks when you start looking into them and thinking about them.
And I know that in some places use other. I'm thinking of Burlington, Vermont, in particular. I happen to be there. Of course, there are a couple of colleges, universities, and so on. A lot of foot traffic in mm-hmm. Burlington, but they have these yellow flashing pylons.
And we're going to have a couple of those this year.
Yeah.
For one in front of the crosswalk between Just So and Vagabonds, we'll have one of those little pop-up things.
Okay.
But that corner is, it's ADA accessible.
We've done
hundreds of thousands of dollars of work over the last 10 years to make our sidewalks accessible, but we haven't put curb cuts
in all of them yet.
Well, they're there on the intersections, but when we start talking about putting crosswalks where there's not intersections, then that's where we run into the issues, because there's a corner on one side of the street and there's a straight stretch. If you look at close to Blueberry is not a four-way, so if we want to put a crosswalk at Blueberry, we don't have a curb cut for accessibility. So, again, the paint is more is just the smallest, easiest part of it. But yeah. In order to be compliant, in New York City, you would think how long it's been. They were just slapped with a settlement with DOJ, and they have a plan for $1 billion worth of ADA wow. accessible curb cuts over the next 10 or 15 years. So, you know, it's we're ahead of the game, but walkability, we're walkable. But, yes, you may have to walk a couple of blocks to get to an appropriate crosswalk, or you jaywalk. And then and jaywalking in Alaska is very common.
Sure.
The article on 3rd Avenue in Anchorage, folks get hit there. And it's probably – and the speed is probably too fast, I would agree. It's a three-lane, one-way.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
pedestrians in the street and not on a crosswalk, it's a losing situation.
Well, that leads me to another place. I had the opportunity because my bike was being repaired at a bike store, and mm-hmm. I walked over to the post office, and I was on sidewalks. It was all kind of nice, got the mail. And then I started up the road – to cut through the gas station and over to a bike shop. And I said, oh, I just realized there are no sidewalks along that street. And I looked and I said, okay, we have apartment houses. Mm-hmm. We have preschool, daycare, a park, etc., which would suggest that people might be walking back and forth to the post office and so on, but no sidewalks. Any plans for that area?
No, there's not. That section does have, when it was put in, curb and gutter.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's a stretch between the, I mean, it's, if you look at it, when there's no cars, there's a gravel area for, that's part of the right-of-way, but there's no plan to put
concrete
there now.
Well, sure, and of course, as I was walking along, I realized I was walking in the street. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the only real way. If it happens to be winter, of course, then you're going to be walking in the street and, yep. and the rest of it. But the street is also a nice street, but it's a little narrow. It just looks like that dirt area, gravel area on at least one or the other side deserves a sidewalk.
Well,
given that, you know, given the potential encouragement to, you know, all those
times have changed. When that road was, it's much like Brittany Estates. There's not a single sidewalk in Brittany Estates.
Oh,
but
wow, yeah.
You know, when that was built, the community said, you know, that's not a feature that has to be put in. So they weren't put in. So it's, you know, times have changed. You know, we can't go back in time and wave a magic wand.
Sure.
So we have to prioritize our resources.
So at the present time, though, if there is new construction, and I mean, of any sort, sidewalks are part of the mix typically.
It's part of our city standards, but those can be waived. So if a developer comes in, and you know, that's, again, it was done in the last 10 years with Hidden Ranch.
It's
a new development that's gone in that, you know, when the council has brought a subdivision, and the subdivider says, you know, I would really like to build this in your town, but, you know, I can't afford to put in all the amenities you're asking for. Then the council can say, you know, we really want you to build. We want new growth. We'll waive certain features. And that's how we get to where we are. You know, we can either have vacant land with nothing because it's either an investment that somebody's not willing to make or it's not penciled out, or we can encourage that type of growth with, you know, amenities that those houses sell without sidewalks. So again,
right.
It's a balance. So we could tell a developer, nope, you're not going to build without sidewalks. And then they may walk away and we still have vacant land. It's, you know, for 20 years from now, maybe somebody will come in and build a subdivision with sidewalks. We haven't waived the gravel road portion in a long, long time. But yeah, so there's city standards, and the council can, and I don't know that I have the authority to waive some of that, but the council can.
Okay.
And that's public process. So.
Well, it'll be interesting, because as the discussion goes along and pointing out the, as we said earlier, we have increased numbers of people and increased focus on the city as a walkable community, mm-hmm. and so on, then it's perhaps at times have changed so that waivers will be less desirable. and that as people look at the advantages of building within the city, that some accommodation would be made. Well, we focused on roads, sidewalks, and the rest of that. So we have a minute left. So what would you like to talk about?
Golf course is open.
It is.
Yes, today's opening day. It's not the earliest. We've opened as early as March 5th, but this is one of the earlier ones. So it's got 12 holes. We expect to have 18 if this continues, which next year or next week we expect to see temperatures in the 50s.
Oh, yes.
So I think we'll have 18 holes open by middle of April.
Sounds good. Well, thank you, Nate Wallace, City Manager of the City of Palmer, for coming in today and sharing some observations about things that are, I think, of really considerable interest to people at the roads and the sidewalks, mm-hmm. and particularly at construction of the Glen Highway. Yeah. Okay. Well, have a good day. Enjoy your walkabout.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.